Welcome to the Granary Church podcast. We're happy you could join us. For more information on the Granary Church, head to granary.org.au or follow our socials at the Granary Church.
Well, you know, I don't really know that I've got a great deal to say after Ross just preached my message. But one of the things that kept me from being a Christian back in the day when I was younger, I mean, I didn't become a Christian until I was married and as an adult, but one of the things that kept me from being a Christian was I thought the Christianity was so safe and sensible. So it was a while before I found out it wasn't. So if you're living sensible, safe Christianity, I just want to tell you you're missing out. And what you had to say, Ross, was like, yes, that's actually what Christianity looks like. And it's a process. And we go from glory to glory and we change. And the more we change, the more we show how Jesus changes lives. And the more Jesus changes our lives, the more our changed lives affect other people and their lives are changed. And it's just like multiplied. It's very powerful. So, Lord, I pray that you will move by the power of your Spirit to help each one of us here directly from you, that you could change my life now, even now. Lord, that at no point are any of us old enough that the changes don't need to keep happening. But Lord, that we can step out again in courage because of who you are. In Jesus' name. Now, firstly, I'm not going to read all these scriptures, but they're going to be up there so that you can read them yourselves. And the first person I want to speak about was Stephen. Stephen was a waiter. He was trustworthy. You know, he was dependable. He was a really good guy. And when they found out that there was a bit of a trouble feeding the widows and there was some kind of racial issues there, the disciples had said, okay, let's pick some really good guys and we'll put them in charge of actually waiting on the table so it'll be okay. And Stephen was one of those guys. But, you know, Stephen stepped out. He was great at what he did, but he stepped out beyond that and he began to work signs and wonders and miracles. I wonder how he felt the first time he heard somebody was sick and he was thinking, maybe I should go and get somebody to pray for him. And it was like the Lord was saying, why don't you pray for him? And so he makes this beginning. And then all of a sudden, it seems like massive changes are taking place and people's lives are being changed because Stephen's life was changed. And so he was also a man of wisdom. And I think that he became a man that was a truth teller, and it was the truth telling that got him into trouble. Next slide, please. And so he was, you know, doing his stuff. And he got into trouble with the legislative assembly, basically. And so they bring him in and they start talking to him about what he's doing and why he's doing it. And these are people who don't want anything to do with Jesus. And so he starts to talk to them about their history. And he talks about how even though they'd been waiting for the Messiah all those years, they didn't recognize him when they saw him because they're just shut off to what God's actually doing. And he speaks about how often and how easy it is for God's very people to reject what God's doing and to reject his prophets. And this is what you're doing now, guys, is what he said to them. So you can imagine how that went down with them. They were not happy. People became very angry with them and it wasn't pretty. Acts chapter 7, verse 54 to 60, it says, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they're the legislative assembly and they're the ones that he's been saying to them, listen, you never pay attention to what God's doing, even though you're supposed to represent God. It says they were furious and they gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he says, look, I see that the heavens are open and the Son of Man is standing at the right hand of God. And they covered their ears because they didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to, even though they could see on his face, it says earlier on that his face was absolutely alight with the presence of God and they could see that, but they cover their ears and they're yelling at the top of their voices and they rush at him and they drag him out of the city and they begin to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coat at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen cried, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against him. When he said this, he fell asleep. Do you know, persecution broke out after that. Bible says that Christians ran everywhere because it was such a, you know, a terrible thing that had happened. Stephen is the first martyr, and all of a sudden the Christians realize Christianity, well, no, they already knew it wasn't sensible. Maybe we just need to realize that. But all of a sudden they realize it's not safe to be a Christian, and they start running to all other places. Persecution breaks out. But the scripture says those who'd been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Now, I think that's really interesting because you'd think they'd hide. You'd think they'd go to another town and they're not going to tell anybody they're a Christian. But actually what happened was that they preached the word wherever they went. Next slide, please. There's a saying, the tyrant dies and his rule is over. The martyr dies and his rule begins. It's just such a powerful thing. The tyrant dies and his rule is over. Our own call from God resides really deeply in us. And I was so blessed by what Ross had to say, because that's my understanding as well. Most people don't even know what is inside them, how they were designed by God specifically for the thing that he wants to use them with, how he wants to work with what he already put in their life to be able to take them into a future that will change lives on every side. We sense maybe that there's something, like some thing, and we clumsily try to reach out and grasp it to be it, but we can't. And then when we encounter God, everything changes. I don't know what Stephen's life was like before he became a Christian, but after he became a Christian, he lived a life of such faith and such massive courage, able to face the full weight of the fury of the Sanhedrin and the religious leaders, and he was able to die for what he believed. And the thing that I love is that he didn't die in brokenness and he didn't die in fear, but he died looking at God the Father and Jesus. He sees Jesus standing next to his Father, and he's just like, God, don't hold that sin against them, but I'm so glad I'm coming to be with you. I'm like, God, I want to die like that. Don't let me just die in a bed somewhere. I want to die like Stephen died. And so every human is made in the image of God. Every one of us has a destiny specifically we've been designed for. We look at Moses, and most of us know the story of Moses. He was called from before he was born to be a deliverer of his people. And he was brought up in a palace, and he was, to all intents and purposes, he was a prince. He was rescued from this enslaved people as a baby. But when he was 40, I mean, there must have been this thing burning in him. But by the time he got to be 40, it was like it was surging forth. I'm supposed to do something. I'm a deliverer. I'm supposed to do something. And so he goes out and he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave. And so he grabs a hold of the Egyptian and he kills him. And he feels like, yes, the call is working. I'm going to be a deliverer. And the next day he goes out again and they're like, get lost, mate. You are not our deliverer. You know, shuffle off. And so he suddenly realizes that everybody knows he murdered this Egyptian, of whom he looks like an Egyptian, walks like an Egyptian, like acts like an Egyptian. But he's got to go now because he's actually not an Egyptian. He's the deliverer that's been raised up for the Hebrews. And so he runs away and he goes away and he's in the desert for 40 years, and he's looking after sheep, and they're not even his own sheep. They're his father-in-law's sheep. I don't know if you've ever looked after sheep. I haven't, but I just can't imagine how hot and boring it must be to spend 40 years in the desert looking after people that just say at you and nothing else. And so I think that he got to the point where he thought to himself, everything I ever imagined that I could have been was stupid. Of course I could never have been those things. I am nothing. Nobody is interested to me, that I only lead sheep. I'm just, you know, it was a figment of my imagination, and my life is never going to change. And the idea of delivering anybody was actually just dropped. He knew that that was never going to happen. I think that he used to probably be pretty arrogant because to all intents and purposes he was a prince. But now he's just a shepherd and he's realized that he does not have what it takes to be the thing that was burning in his heart throughout those years. And then the Bible says that God introduced himself to Moses. That's actually what it says. He sees the burning bush, he walks up to it, and God says to him, "Hey, mate, I'm the God of your fathers." He's like, "What?" God introduces himself to Moses, and Moses' life was changed because the call of God, which was always designed into who he was ignited. Now, even though we are designed according to God's call, I want to tell you this from my own bitter experience. We can only do God's call God's way. The call is always there. It's a call to greatness, but not the kind of greatness that the world thinks great, where your name is up in light. Probably nobody's ever going to know your name outside your own small people group. But God knows your name, and God knows that you're fulfilling the thing that he called you to. And so it's about living. This is the thing that absolutely burns in my heart. It's about living in such a way, fulfilling the call of God on your life, the purposes of God on your life, that when you get to heaven, you're empty. You've done it all. There's nothing that when you get there, God's saying, "Oh, by the way, you left these few things undone." No, that when we arrive in heaven, we arrive empty. That is the most amazing life. Now, Stephen died in faith, which is the best way to die, by the way. And then there's this great persecution and people fled to other towns, but they didn't hide their belief in Christ. They began to preach. The reverse happened, because when the tyrant dies, his rule ends. But when the martyr dies, his rule begins. And so when people fully embrace the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ, and I say fully embrace because we don't have to fully embrace it. We can stay on the sensible side of being Christian and, you know, you still get to heaven. But love for God and for his people and courage to live for Christ and to use the things that have been put into my life the way I was designed to be for God and for his purposes. When those things grip the heart and soul of the one who's sold out for the purposes of God, the opportunity is open and we get into the flow of the thing that we were designed for. Ever since Jesus died for us, and when Stephen laid down his life for the truth of Christ, millions and millions and millions and millions of Christians have done the same. We don't know their names. I was just hearing today that there's a massive persecution of Christians in India. People are being killed because they're Christian in India. We don't even know that. We don't know most of the names of people who've laid down their life for Christ, but we're going to meet them in heaven. I want to tell you about a modern day person. And the reason I'm using this man is because he's across all the news and the newspapers and, you know, on the internet, etc. His name's Alexei Navalny. Alexei Navalny died 2 weeks ago in a Russian prison in the Arctic Circle, which is one of the worst prisons on earth. He was serving a 19-year sentence there. He was 47 years old, same age as my eldest son. He was a formidable threat to President Putin, and he died of torture. Now, he made the headlines in 2020 when he was poisoned. He was on an aeroplane coming back, and he was poisoned by Novichok, which is Putin's poison of choice to kill his opponents. He was taken to Germany and he made a full recovery there. He stayed there for 5 months. Now, if you knew that this had happened to you and your life was only just saved, would you go back to Russia? He knew that if he went back to Russia, he was a dead man, and he was right. But you know what? When people die for what they believe in, something amazing takes place. Now, wasn't really well known until after he died that Alexei Navalny was a Christian. He hadn't always been, but he had become a Christian. And in his closing statement in his trial in 2021, he makes that really clear. This is what he says: "If you want, I'll talk to you about God and salvation. I'll turn up the volume of heartbreak to the maximum, so to speak. The fact is that I'm a Christian, which usually rather sets me up as an example for constant ridicule in the Anti-Corruption Foundation, because mostly our people are atheists, and I was once quite a militant myself. But now I'm a believer, and that helps me a lot in my activities because everything becomes much, much easier. I think about things less. There are fewer dilemmas in my life because there's a book, and he's talking about the Bible, in which, in general, it's more or less clearly written what action to take in every situation. It's not always easy to follow this book, of course, but I am actually trying. Is anybody else here actually trying? I mean, I'm actually trying, which doesn't actually mean I always get it, but I'm actually trying. And so, as I said, it's easier for me, probably than for many others, to engage in politics. And I'm mindful of the fact that Ross said, I'm not into politics. That's because he's not called to it. Navalny was called to it. It matters. What makes the difference is what you're called to. And he goes on to quote from the Beatitude, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." I've always thought that this particular commandment is more or less an instruction to activity. You know, I've many times said, God, I'm hungering and thirsting for righteousness, but I never really understood what Navalny has said here, that it's an instruction to activity. And so, while certainly not really enjoying the place I am, which was Russian jail, I have no regrets about coming back to Russia or about what I'm doing. It's fine because I did the right thing. On the contrary, I feel a real kind of satisfaction because at some difficult moment, and some difficult moment must have been when he was in Germany and he was warm and safe and he was with his wife and his two kids and they were comfortable. At some difficult moment, I did as required by the instructions, which was the call of God on his life. And I did not betray the commandment. He expected to die. He went back knowing he would die. He was designed for this kind of courage. Not everybody is. So don't feel like shamed or anything if you think, I wouldn't have gone back. Because that's not what this is about. What it's about is, what is the call calling you to? And when Jesus changes your life in this way and you keep following through on the call, lives all around you begin to change. And Jesus changes lives, not just one at a time, but one multiplying into many, and one, both singular and plural. He was designed for that kind of courage. Ephesians 2:10 is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, "For we are his, God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, not just any old good works, but good works that God prepared beforehand for us to do." Ross, at all those times when your parents were bringing you up and they loved you so much and you never expected this, and the property that you have now was all designed into your DNA right before you were born. There's a saying, there's two most significant times in your life. The first time is when you're born, and the second time is when you understand why. There are so many examples of people that God changed the lives of, that Jesus changed the lives of, who've had the courage to follow Jesus instead of just saying, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, Harriet Beecher Stowe was a writer back in the 18th century in America when there were hundreds of thousands of enslaved people being kept to do the work. And Harriet Beecher Stowe was a writer, and she wrote a book that certainly the people group that she was part of did not approve of. And President Abraham Lincoln, when he met her, said to her, "So you're the person, you're the woman who wrote the book that started this great war." The great war he was talking about was the war to free the slaves. But her writing awakened people to understand the absolute horrors of keeping somebody else as a slave as though you owned them. People leave high-paying jobs to go and serve among the poorest of people. I can't imagine the toll that was taken on Michelangelo's body as he spent all those years painting the Sistine Chapel. Prison reformer Elizabeth Fry, abolitionist William Wilberforce, who was an up-and-coming politician and instead of going on to try and become the Prime Minister of England, spent all the years of his life until his death campaigning against owning other people. He was an abolitionist. And you know what? He did not have everybody's approval for that. There were a lot of people against him. He became very ill while he was doing it, but nothing stopped him from going on. Harriet Tubman, whose people called her Moses because she escaped slavery herself and led so many other people out as well. Oscar Romero, who was Archbishop of El Salvador, and he was assassinated by the government because he was so critical of the way they treated the poor. Mother Teresa, a rich girl from Albania who left it all and went to live among the poorest of the poor in India. Billions of people have allowed Jesus to change their lives, enabling them to do the work that they were created for and thus impacting so many others that they'll never know it themselves. They'll never know it. Videographers, sound engineers, people who are gifted with the mercy to wipe up other people's vomit and care for their needs. People with the patience to explain things again and again and again until understanding comes or doesn't. People who teach others to look after their finances so their money can last longer than beyond their next pay. Musicians whose work the Lord anoints so that people's hearts can be comforted and inspired and changed. Tradies who use their talents to help people who can't afford to fix their car or fix their taps or fix their veranda. We were all born with a desire and talents and the ease of learning certain skills that all work around what God created us for to do. And we tend to live toward the way that we're designed, whether we know God or not. But coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ activates a move into the fullness of what it is that God calls us to do. And that's how Jesus is able to change lives. Moses was always called as a deliverer, but it wasn't until he met the God who designed him that he developed the capacity to actually do it because his own way didn't work. And many of you have never known that kind of relationship with Jesus Christ. And today might be the first time that you've heard that he's the one who gives meaning and purpose to the design of our lives in ways we've longed for and feel drawn to, but we've struggled to make it work. And I'm going to ask you a bit later, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, because you can see that that's the thing that will make all the difference, I'm going to ask you that question a bit later. Other people might have spent their lives serving the Lord in that way and in a good way, and there's been a good flow, but the road has been so long and it's so exhausting. And we come to this crossroad where we can choose to step back a little bit and choose a lesser life. Alexei Navalny was designed to fight for justice. And when he found Jesus, it made the hard, hard work so much easier. He worked for freedom in his nation in the power of the Holy Spirit until he was poisoned and nearly died. He had the choice when he was in Germany whether to keep going or whether to fall back and take a lesser road. And we all have the choice. No matter how many years we've been serving the Lord, when it's been bitter and painful, hurtful, and nobody notices how much we've been wounded, we have the choice to think, do you know what, I'm going to just step back. Navalny decided to go forward to the place that God called him to. You may have been in a place where the work is hard and thankless, and you've been poisoned with pain and disillusionment and dog-tired weariness. But I want to tell you this from personal experience. Jesus can give you what you need to go again, to continue in the thing that you're called to. How does Jesus change lives? By bringing us into the slipstream of living according to the design we were created for, enabling us to have the compassion and the courage and the grace and the truth that's so vital, not only for our own future, but to impact the world that is around us. When we live according to our design, allowing Jesus not just to change us, but to keep changing us, our impact will go far beyond our lifetime. Nobody will ever remember your name, but they will be impacted by the people that were impacted by you. And that will continue on. God knows your name. He rejoices that we're doing what we're made for. And in that way, he not only changes our lives, but he changes the lives of people we touch. He brings us back to the blueprint that he drew in our DNA when he was envisioning how and for what he was going to make us. And when our life changes, so do the lives of the people around us. We have the musicians up, please. Two things. If you haven't really understood why it's all so hard, even though you've been trying and you can feel the pull toward what you were created for, and you didn't understand that coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ would be the thing that would enable you to step into a flow that would begin a process to take you into the fullness of what God's called you to, I want to say to you today, you can make that decision today. You can step into the purposes of God today. You can step into a relationship with Jesus Christ today. So everyone can close their eyes. Just let me put this to you. If you have never asked Jesus into your life before, and it's actually important to say that because sometimes people feel like, well, I did before, but maybe I didn't need it. Maybe I didn't mean it enough. Maybe he didn't hear me. Maybe, no, once you've asked, God is there with you. But if you've never asked Jesus into your life, if you've never come into a relationship with him, is there anybody here? Just put up your hand. If you just think, yep, I want to meet Jesus as my Savior. I want to come into a new and living relationship with Jesus Christ. And the second thing is, maybe you've worked so hard, and maybe you've been hurt so much, and you've sat back and said, I'll let others do it. And maybe the Lord is saying to you, no, I want you to go again. You don't have to martyr yourself. You don't have to be a martyr. But sometimes it feels like that when you go again with people that may hurt you again. If you're in that kind of position, I would like to encourage you to come forward for prayer. We're going to have a prayer team here out the front. And come and ask for prayer that God will come and enable you to go again. Because when he changes lives, he keeps changing them. Unless we say stop. Thank you, Father, for everything that you do.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday podcast. If you enjoyed it, either subscribe or follow on the podcast app that you use to keep up to date on when our next Sunday podcast gets released. Have a safe and blessed week.